This morning is my final message in this series, Dressed for Battle. Using as a text Ephesians 6:10 through 18. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for the saints that you like. All the saints, even those you think are not saints, all the saints. Amen. Part one, we identified the fact that we are in a spiritual war and that we need to be committed to the Christian soldier's battle charge. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. How many have that in your heart now?
Amen.
Three of us.
Amen.
How many have that in your heart? Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. In part two, we learned who the enemy is. The devil, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. We also learned that Christ has already overcome him. Amen?
Yes, sir.
The enemy has already been defeated. In part three, we learned the strategies of the devil that the devil uses to try and defeat the believer. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. In part four, we learned what kind of gear we need to fight this battle with the devil. The armor of God, the belt of truth, breastplate of righteousness, shoes of the gospel of peace, shield of faith, helmet of salvation, sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, as the last item that Paul talked about in this battle with the devil, we need to learn to connect with the source of power and strength to be able to use this equipment and gain victory. How many know you don't put the armor on unless you learn how to use it? How many know that after you're all dressed for battle, you have to have power and strength to go forward? Where does it come from? Brother Bob, you've got it right. That finger pointed upward. Amen. It comes from God. So we have to learn, after we've learned all these other things about the battle of life, we have to learn to go to the source of strength and power. None of us by ourselves are capable of defeating the devil.
Amen. That's right.
We must have a source of power and strength that is beyond us. So how do we do that? Paul declares our strength comes through prayer. Praying always, he said, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. I want you to know this morning that prayer is essential for victory. Victory just doesn't happen. You have to be in touch with the captain of the Lord's army in order to have the power. Prayer is that essential item for victory. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 26. Keep watch and pray so that you will not give in to temptation, for the spirit is willing, but the body is weak. How many times have we tried to go against the devil? Oh, maybe he came around and wanted to make us angry. And we blamed our anger on the Irish that's in us. Huh? Watch it, Brother Nobile says. He must have a little Irish. We blame it on something. Well, the devil got the best of me. I wonder why he did. Jesus said, keep watch and pray so that you will not give in to temptation. Our body is weak. We come up against the devil, we find out we're no match for him within ourselves. We need a source of strength and power above and beyond us. And Jesus gave us that item and how we can deal with this battle of temptation. Pray, watch and pray. I remember Dr. Charles W. Kahn. He told his young wife, Edna. Brother Kahn was general overseer of the Church of God on several occasions, and he was president of Lee University, and a great man of God. Had 12 kids. One of them is now president of Lee University, and his other son preached for us here, Steve, and I have been good friends for many years. But Dr. Kahn, when he started out in ministry, he told his wife, Edna, pray for me. And he said one of the biggest hindrances in his early ministry was watching her head go down in prayer while he was preaching. And so he told her, Edna, watch and pray. If I'm up there preaching and I see you go down, I know I'm faltering. Look up and pray, Edna. And Jesus told us this many years before. Watch and pray. You got to be watching for the devil. You got to be watching for the temptations. You have to keep your eyes open for the things that Satan will use against us. But while we're watching, pray and seek the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. In Luke, the writer said, then he spoke a parable to them that men ought always to pray and not lose heart. Men ought always to pray. You might remember it in the King James like this, and not faint. One of the keys that I've noticed in 45 years of pastoral ministry is as soon as I see somebody fainting, I know they're not praying. Because when somebody is faltering, they begin to miss church. they begin to do things and go places and say this and act like this, that I know that they're faltering, they're losing heart, and the reason is because they're not making connection to the source of power.
Amen.
I don't care what kind of machine you have, if it's a saw, if it's a drill, if you don't plug it into the source, you won't have any power. You can stand there all day, you can pull the trigger as much as you want to, but it'll never come on till you plug it in. And until you get plugged in to the source of power, you will falter and fail and not be able to accomplish the victory that you need in your heart. So prayer is essential for the victory. To receive strength from God, you have to pray. Listen to what he said in Chronicles 16. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face just when you feel like it. Amen? Seek His face just on a Sunday morning. Who said no? Edna. Seek His face only when you feel like it. Seek His face when? Continually. Don't quit. Don't give up. Because the very moment when you don't feel like praying is the moment when the devil's coming. Amen? That's the moment he's going to try to take advantage of you. So he said, seek the Lord and His strength. Wow. How about that? Seek the Lord and His strength. I thought for sure when I read that it said seek Joel Osteen and his strength. Read his book and he'll tell you how to be good all the time. Hello? Seek J.B. Legg. He's always above everything else. Amen? He got nothing, no complaints. Doesn't matter what they do to him, he's still, I'm all right. Hello? No, that's not what it is. Seek the Lord.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. Amen. The curious.
Yes.
That's the one who is master. I like to go to the source of power and the source of strength. I like to go to somebody that can get her done. Amen? I like to go to someone who can get the job accomplished. And the Lord is the one. So don't be seeking after everything else. Seek the Lord and His strength. Amen? Hallelujah. I pastored on the Eastern Shore. I had a gentleman down there. He was about 6'3". Had arms, you know, like that. I've watched him step over top of a full motor, all assembled, and just reach down, pick it up off the ground, and watch him take a 100-pound sack of feed with one arm and put it on his shoulder. I said, Brother Heyman, wherever I need your help, I'm going to call on you. Anybody gets out of line in church, you're the man I'm coming to. He was ready at any time. But you go to the source of the strength. And God, the Lord, is our strength. So seek the Lord and His strength. And seek His face continually. Don't let up. Don't let down. Amen. Listen to what is said in John 16. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive that your joy may be full. Amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Has God answered all of my prayers? Absolutely not. When I prayed, Lord, give me the lottery. He said, you don't need it. Hello? Oh, He answers. Sometimes He says yes. Sometimes He says no. Because we're asking amiss. And sometimes He says, wait a while. We've got to be willing. But He said, ask and you will receive. So to receive strength from God, you must ask Him. How many of you want power to overcome the devil? Yeah. How many of you want power to defeat the enemy? Yeah. How many want power and wisdom to know when He's coming and what tactic He's using? Then you must ask Him for that strength.
Yeah.
Thessalonians, the Apostle Paul said, pray without ceasing. Hallelujah. Now that doesn't mean to be on your knees 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So Lord knows some of you can't get on your knees anymore. Some of you are doing good to be able to lay flat on your back and pray. But you pray without ceasing. Be in a attitude of prayer. I guarantee you, if you're praying without ceasing, you've got less problem with language that you shouldn't be using. Hello? If you're praying without ceasing and that pretty woman walks by, gentlemen, you don't have the problem that you used to have. Amen. Praying without ceasing, you're always in tune with the Lord. You're always in contact. I don't know about you, but I like to be plugged in all the time to the source of power. Thirdly, God makes promises to those who faithfully pray. Listen to what He says in Psalm 91:15. He shall call upon Me and I will answer him. You notice what He said? He shall call upon Me and if I think I like it, I'll answer him. If you call on Me, I'll answer you every now and then. I might think about it. No, He said, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble, and I will deliver him and honor him. How many want to know you've got God by your side when you're in the heat of the battle?
Right.
Amen. When you're fighting the devil tooth and toenail, praise the Lord, that's the time when you need to call on Him. Call on Me, He said, and I will answer. He said, I'll be there with you in the time of your trouble, and I'll deliver you, and I will honor you. In Isaiah 58, He said, then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. That's His promise. You shall cry, and He will say, here I am.
Yes.
Oh, hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
I like when somebody answers. You know, Linda calls every now and then, and I don't answer. Did you hear me? I answer them. Hello? The only reason God's not answering is because we're not calling. We're not crying out to Him. He made you a promise. He said, if you call, I will answer. You shall cry. And He will say, I'm here. Praise the Lord. Now, I remember that ad on TV. That gentleman is sitting on the couch and his wife is from the kitchen. She says to him, you want something from the kitchen? And he doesn't answer. And so she sneaks right up behind him. And he doesn't know she's there. And he finally gets around to saying something. And she, right on top of him, scares him half to death. God said, I'll be by your side. That's His promise.
Amen.
And He'll not forget His promise to you. Listen to what He says in Isaiah 65. It shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. Hallelujah. The Lord has said, before I even get it out, He knows what's coming. He said, I'm already answering, praise the Lord. And listen to what else He says. And while they are still speaking, I will hear. Hallelujah.
Lord.
That's His promise to you. The only God doesn't turn a deaf ear. He hears His children.
Yes.
I've watched. Have you ever watched? A little baby can start yammering and crying in the crib. You know, he's getting a little bit hungry and he wants a little something to eat. And mama just don't pay too much attention. But you let that diaper pin... Oh, some of you don't even know what they are anymore. I know what they were. I had one or two stick me when I was a kid. Hello? Y'all don't remember that? Huh? When that diaper pin comes open and it jags that little, there's a different cry. And mama is right there. Don't you like it when the Lord calls? Hallelujah. When you call on the Lord, He says, I will hear you. Not only will I hear you, I will answer you before you get it out. Praise the Lord. That's His promise to you in your life. Now, that's the reason Jesus is the power, the source of power. And the only way to plug in is prayer. Notice conditions of successful prayer. How many of you just pray sometimes? You just pray. Yeah. How many times some of you pray and, boy, you're getting to feel a little, whew, hallelujah. Huh?
Oh, yeah.
And then sometimes, whew, glory. Feel like taking on the devil because you're feeling the power. Well, what's the key? What conditions are there to successful prayer? Listen to what the writer said in 2 Chronicles. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Notice the conditions of successful prayer. Humility of heart, humbling ourselves, submission to God. Lord, I am nothing. Lord, I have sinned. Lord, I am weak. But You are strong. I submit my life to You. I submit myself. And in humility, I bow humbly at Your feet. You remember in the days of Jesus, Jesus made mention of it. Some of the scribes and the Pharisees, you know, they were so fair, you see. They walked around with their holy robes on. Oh, our Father. Wow. Man of God on the street today. I am the leader of Your people. Hear me, O God. They're going around praying as if they were somebody. You remember the prayer between the publican in the temple and the Pharisee? What'd the publican do? He bowed his nose. Smote himself on the breast and said, Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. When you come to God, you have to come with humility of heart.
Amen.
And He says, pray and seek God. Seek. That's a different word. You ever lost anything around the house? First thing I say, honey, what'd you do with it? Huh? I know I didn't put it someplace. And you go scurrying all around, huffing and puffing and looking and looking. And after a while she says, did you put it so and so?
And you look and there it is. You seek until you find. You seek God.
They told a story on me at one of my senior class reunions. See, I was preaching in high school. And there was a fellow there at the reunion, and he was one of the ornery guys. He's lived a life separate apart from God. So they get up and told this story about me. I was down by the river baptizing. And I was in the river and baptizing people to get saved. And here come Joel, half drunk and staggering around on the bank. And I said, "Joel, do you want to find God?" "Yeah." "Well, come on in. Let me baptize you." So he came in the river and I put him down under and brought him back up. And I said, "Have you found God?" "No." So I put him down and I held him a little longer that time. I brought him up and, "Joel, did you find God?" "No, I didn't really find God." So the third time I put him down, held him till the bubbles started coming. Then brought him back up and I said, "Joel, have you found God yet?" And he said, "No, are you sure this is where he fell in?" Some of you haven't gotten that yet. How many want to find God? You want to find Jesus in your heart, in your life, in your soul. You want all of God there is. What does he say here? Seek. Seek. That means to set out to find and not quit until you have found. Amen. Seek Him. Oh, we put many of our hours in other things, don't we, in life? We've got hours to spend on this and hours to spend on that and time to do this. And we go shopping and we go buy this and buy that. We seek after this and that. Seek God. That's a condition of prayer. And then he says, thirdly, forsake sin and unrighteousness. I don't know about you, but I found myself to be a little like Paul in Romans. I knew what I was supposed to do, and I set out to do it. I wanted to do it in my heart, but I found myself doing things I should not be doing. And then I have to go back to the Lord and say, "Oh God, forgive me. Show me mercy." Anybody?
Amen.
Yeah. Here, he says, one of the conditions of prayer is, "Hey guy, humble yourself before me, seek me, and then when you're finished praying and you found me, forsake your sins." You've got a bottle in the refrigerator, go get it and throw it away. And refuse to buy any more. Hello. If you're having trouble with your nose being a smokestack, throw away the lucky stripes. Burn them. And not on the tip of your fingers either. Get rid of them. He says, cast away, forsake your sin. If you have trouble gossiping on the telephone and talking about sister so-and-so in church, shut your mouth. How many have the right to do that? How many of you know when to talk and when not to talk? Hello? Getting quiet in here. Forsake your sins. Get rid of them. If you're backbiting, whatever you're, if you're having trouble with anger, Some years ago, I had a gentleman, he kicked his wife out on Interstate 70 coming from Frederick, kicked her out of the car, he got mad at her for some reason, said, "Walk home." And that's the way he was. He would get angry and do things that were... But they came to my study and they sat down and I looked at her and I said, "Now, tell me what you don't like about him." "Everything." "Oh, I thought you were talking about Bill." So she started and she gave me a list. I mean, she went down. He was sitting there just as still and quiet. Never got ruffled, never got... I looked at him after a while and I said, "Sir, you didn't get mad once. I mean, she's criticized you up one side and down the other and told you everything she don't like about you. And you haven't gotten angry at all." I said, "Would that have happened at home?" He said, "I'd have hit her by now." "Yeah." Well, I said, "If you can do it here in my presence, it tells me that you have the ability to not do it. So if you can't do it here, then don't do it at home. You hear me?" I wanted to go on and tell him, "If you do it at home anymore, I'm coming and I'm going to take care of business with you." No. Forsake your sin. Get rid of it. Wholeheartedness is what is required of us. "And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart."
Amen.
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 Now, here's this one. Paul goes on and say, part of this praying business is pray in the Spirit. That is, pray under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." Pray in the Spirit. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean pray in tongues. There may be times when you're praying and the Spirit of God speaks through you, giving you the utterance, and you're able to pray then in a heavenly language or another language unto the Lord, and the Spirit of God is praying through you. But it also can mean to pray under the anointing of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
I said a while ago, there are times when I just pray. You know, "Lord, I'm going to bed. I'm going this night time. See you in the morning. Good night. I love you. If you come before morning, Lord, then I'm ready to go. Take me and be with you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I might half asleep before I get done." There are times when you just pray. I notice some of you, when I say, "Would you pray for the offering?" And some of you begin to pray. You pray for Bob, you pray for Jim, you pray for John, you pray for everything else in the world, and then finally at the end you get around to praying for the offering. I ask you to pray for the offering. And we just pray a prayer. Then there's other times when you're with God and you and God are talking to each other. Praise the Lord. And you begin to feel the turning of the Holy Spirit, the yearning of God in your heart. You desire Him. You want more of Him. You're really talking to Him. And after a while, you and God are really in with Him. Hallelujah! And you feel the anointing and the presence of God coming down upon you. And you're talking to God under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We need those times. Paul said, pray in the Spirit. Prayer is to be made with supplication to God for all saints. Supplication, therefore, is the attitude or spirit of prayer. We bend down to God and cry out
to Him for an answer. We submit to His will and to His authority. We earnestly seek His help. In this way, we make supplication to God in our prayers. A little like the Lord Jesus set the example, who offered up prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears. Somebody said to me the other day, "Pastor Lane, I cry a lot when I pray." I said, "Praise the Lord."
Yes.
Amen. Means that you're emptying the soul, that the Spirit is touched, the emotions are moved on, the power of God is stirring the life. Hallelujah. Let the tears roll. Be in earnest with God, supplicating before the Lord for all the saints.
Amen.
And last of all, and some of you said about times, quarter after, watching is a necessity as we pray. Keep watch and pray, said Jesus. Watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. Watch and pray. Keep looking. I remember a preacher saying one time, he on the platform when they would pray, he always bowed his head, and one day he had his head down praying, and some lady got up out of the congregation, came up by and kissed him on the cheek. He said he watched and prayed after that. You got to keep your eyes open to watch, don't you? So there, you must be careful. That is, being alert. Being alert to the devil. Being alert to the enemy. Being alert to the things around you. Brother Louis was sitting last summer out on his bench outside of his house reading a book. He wasn't paying much attention until out of the corner of his eye he saw something moving. He wasn't very alert. That old black snake had crawled right in under his bench behind me. I guarantee you he became alert then.
He'd have been a poisonous snake. He'd have been.
All right. You got to watch. Guess what? The old devil comes slithering around just when you're not expecting him. You might be praying. You might be doing one of those, "Now lay me down to sleep." And you're just, you know, spouting off. But if you've got your eyes open and you're watching for the things of the world and the devil and him coming around, you watch and you pray as you seek the Lord with all of your heart. And guess what? The power surges through. Glory! And I like those moments. I don't know about you, but I like those moments when I get plugged into the Lord through prayer. And I've been watching, and the old devil slips something around, and I say, "Woo! Glory, devil! Caught you! Caught you red-handed! Get behind me, Satan, in the name of Jesus."
Amen. Amen. Glory.
Glory.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Success in the battle is only guaranteed if one is successful in prayer. You can tackle the soldier's charge, take the soldier's charge to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. You can know who the enemy is. You can understand the enemy's tactics. You can try to dress up in the armor. But if you don't go to God as a source of your strength, you lose the battle. Saints, it's time to pray. Lord, we're in the battle for our life. This is a spiritual battle, and if we don't win Jesus, that means we head to hell for all of eternity. This is the battle of eternity in our souls. It's either win
or we lose it all, Lord. Master, we're the church, and we've got to win the battle. Oh, we've got to press the battle to the gate. Jesus, I want you to fill us full of your Holy Spirit, your presence and power. We'll seek you until you endue us with the power to take this message and go forward and win the lost at any cost.
Amen. Amen.
But in the doing of that job for you and your kingdom, in the doing of the winning the lost, Lord, we need to keep the victory. So, Lord, we're going to dress up in the armor that you've given us. We're going to know who the devil is. We are weary of his tactics. We have taken the soldier's charge to be strong in you and in the power of your might. Now, Lord, we're going to plug into you with faithful prayer day and night and stay strong in your power so that you will always be there with us.
Hallelujah.
Amen.